Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Word and our ability this morning to delve into it and study it, and hope, Lord, that we gain a deeper understanding of it through Pete's lesson. We ask that you be with him as he gives it. And Lord, we ask all this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from the book of Philippians, and we'll be reading Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And it's on page 1775 in your companion Bible. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Our lesson this morning will be on the prize and the crown. The prize and the crown. Only a casual reading of Scripture reveals that there is a prize and a crown connected with God's purpose and plan for the ages. And it is not to be confused with salvation, which is by grace. Grace, salvation, is given. It is not earned other than faith or belief. It is a free gift of God. It is not to be confused with a crown or with a prize. A prize is something that is earned. One must finish the course in order to get the prize or the trophy or the crown. You must have the fastest time, the lowest score, or the highest score, depending on where it is that you're competing in what sport. The prize and the crown. In any competition, for any prize or any crown, you must be lawfully in your effort to win that prize. And the chief judge then hands out a prize. If you do not compete lawfully, you step outside the bounds, you don't pay attention to the rules, you're considered to be out. Paul speaks of this a couple different times in Scripture with regard to this prize and the crown. So turn in your Scriptures first to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where we begin to see evidence of this in the Scripture. And this morning I want to go through and figure out what it is and how do you win it. If it's something earned, it's not the gift of salvation, what is it? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, page 1711 in the Companion Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, go down to verse 24 in that ninth chapter. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And you know that to be the case. if you're going to be the fastest man in the world, if you're going to be the strongest man in the world, whatever it is, you have to be temperate in all things. You have to keep your mind on what the prize is and what it takes to win that prize. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Sports, all those things that you win, the trophy that you win, the trophies that I've won, they'll be one day melted down. They will be of no value. The medals will be dross. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible crown. Paul's speaking about something different here. I, therefore, so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And then we find evidence of this also in the book of Philippians. Turn over a few pages to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, page 1777 in the Companion Bible. And in that third chapter, we'll look at starting with verse 10. Paul speaking says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Prize there is a Greek word, brabion. It comes from brabios. It means to judge. And it is a term used in sports also, in the games, in the Greek games, in the early first Olympics and so forth. And it's there in Scripture. We know pretty much what it is. It's a prize. It's a crown. Here in Philippians, Paul seems unsure of the prize. Notice in that verse, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, I press towards the mark for the prize. Obviously, he hasn't at this point seemed to comprehend or understand that he has won a prize. He's questioning it. But he ultimately settles the issue. Turn over a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in that fourth chapter, look at verse, starting with verse 7. We're at the end of Paul's life. He knows he's going to probably be beheaded. And we don't know that for sure, but there's quite a bit of evidence in history that he was. But here he's writing at the very end of his life, and he's writing to Timothy, and he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. Here he's very confident that there's laid up for him a crown or a prize. He knows that he has been striving lawfully within the boundaries of what this prize or this crown is. And by the way, I might point out that individually, it is a race individually. I am not competing against you, and you are not competing against me for this prize or this crown. It is an individual race. So, what is the prize and the crown? That's the question. Are they one and the same, the prize and the crown? Well, we could spend a lot of time on just that. We're more interested in the actual race this morning than we are whether the prize and the crown are one and the same. A study will show that they are the same. I might just point that out. The difference being that a prize is something to be obtained. I'm running the race. I know at the end of the race I will stand up on the podium and I will be given a gold medal if I win the fastest man in the world at the Olympics. I'm striving for a prize. On the other hand, the crown has been attained, and you just have not been crowned yet. You are worthy of the crown, but you have not been crowned. We see a hint of what Paul is speaking about in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Let's go back to that. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 12, he is hinting, not as though I had already attained, either were already made perfect. Well, what was that? It was resurrection, because he was a believer in Christ. And you turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's on page 1792 in your companion Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we see what he had attained. He understood what that was. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. Here's what he had attained based on salvation and based on a gift. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. He had no doubt of his standing before God with regard to this resurrection. But the prize is not the resurrection. That's not the prize. That's not the crown. It is something to be obtained, and it is yet future. But it is not in itself the reward or the prize. It's something that you're waiting to be crowned for. It's the equivalent, what he's speaking of here, is the equivalent of what we find in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Turn over there in Revelation chapter 20. Go down to verse 4. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That's what Paul knew that he had won as a result of his salvation and his faith. That's what he knew back in Corinthians. When he gets to Philippians, and we read those verses, that I might attain, not as though I had already attained. So he's looking for something else, different than that first resurrection. You see, life with Christ, which comes as a result of the resurrection he was talking about in 1 Corinthians, life with Christ is different than reigning with Christ. Reigning is a position. Reigning is like a king with power over, and in this case, it'll be over principalities and powers and angels. So life with Christ is something that he had attained, but he was struggling to know and to understand if he would be, quote, reigning with Christ in something different. Now, my good friend, Mr. Stuber, we go around about this all the time. He thinks that these are one and the same, these resurrections, and I tend to think, and along with Welch and Stuart Allen and Sir Robert Anderson and Bullinger and some of these other scholars, that it is a different resurrection and it is separate. It is not in itself the prize, but the prize and the crown then is to rule and reign with Christ. Not just resurrection in itself. That comes from salvation. But there's something else. I'll leave that at that. You determine. Scripture says, study to show thyself approved. Whatever it was, we are admonished to hold on to it. Doesn't make much difference exactly what it was. We're supposed to hold on to it, whatever. In the book of Revelation, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. No man take thy prize. Your salvation can't be taken. That is hid in him. The crown is not a mere medal or a trophy. Still, it is something of value. And you do not want to lose it. And the reason is because if you do, it is a return to bondage. Look at Galatians chapter 4, page 1755. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, page 1755, beginning with verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, or I'm afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. These Galatians were going, Christ had died. Salvation was free. And these Galatians were wanting to go back to the old law of sacrifice and all the things that were involved in the Old Testament with pleasing God. A relapse into elements that are considered to be weak and beggarly. Turn over one page to chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says then, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is a yoke of bondage? Well, one of the best examples is a yoke that you put on oxen. You hook two oxen together with this big wooden yoke that goes from one to other, and they must go together no matter what. And the stronger one usually wins out. The stronger one controls the yoke. And so Paul is saying here, don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage where you are linked with others. So how do you lose the prize and return to bondage? What is it that you're yoked with? What is he talking about? Well, what he's talking about is being beguiled or charmed or diverted by that which you are yoked with. It takes you back in the wrong direction. And there's two things that beguile us. The first is man. Turn to Colossians. You're in Galatians. Turn right in your Bible over to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 18. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Here they set aside Christ in this instance, and they were worshiping angels, or maybe nothing at all. And we see that later in the book of Revelation where John fell down and worshiped an angel, and he was rebuked for that, by the way. You see it today, though, in religion, particularly in the Catholic faith, where they are worshiping Mary and other saints and humans, Pope, that are declared saints. And, of course, in other places in the world today, we're beginning to see more satanic type of worship. I'm just amazed today at how many goods there are on the market with skull and crossbones. You know, there's nothing really wrong with it, but it shows what's thinking in people's mind, that there is this underworld place of skull and crossbones, and there are religions that actually worship that. So the caution here is the same to us. Let no man beguile you with the yoke. Back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, page 1736. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Unbelievers do not have the same or the right priorities that a Christian should have. Some think that this verse is replying to marriage, is with regard to marriage only. But that's true. But it also includes friends and business partners and people who you associate with. I think you've heard me tell the story when I was in high school. A bunch of guys were going to go out and steal some apples. And I had visions of just, you know, grabbing an apple off a tree and running. And that's not what they were thinking about at all. They had a pickup truck, and they all went in the back of the pickup truck, and they went to this apple orchard, and they drove around behind, and they were loading up apples by the crate. And the owner came around the corner of the building with a 12-gauge shotgun and took them captive, and they went to jail. And I didn't go. I jumped out of the truck at the last minute. And I was, you know, chided and harassed and made fun of for that. But the next morning I was glad because I knew my dad wasn't coming down to get me out of jail. I was going to be there until the judge let me out. I was being beguiled by what I thought were my good friends. I was yoked to some degree with them. And usually the stronger controls the yoke. Don't be beguiled by business partners and friends or apparent friends. Be the stronger in the yoke. I was thinking this morning of a situation when I was at Baylor University. I had a friend, and he was, well, wild. His dad was a petroleum engineer, and they lived in Santa Barbara, Chihuahua, Mexico. And I ran around with Walt at Baylor. And I'll never forget, well, I did forget, as a matter of fact. We went down to Brooks Army Medical Center for a wrestling competition, for a tournament. And while we were there, we were laying in bed, and I told Walt, I gave Walt the gospel. I forgot it. I forgot all about it. 45 years later, I get a call from Walt. He says, Pete, I haven't seen you for 45 years, but I never forgot what you told me. He said, I went to the very bottom. I lost my practice. He was a dentist. I lost my practice. I lost my wife. I lost my kids. I lost my home. My pockets were turned out. I was on the street. But I never forgot what you told me. We were yoked, but I was the stronger one. And then he went on to say, because of what you told me, I am now remarried. And I am teaching a Bible class every week. I have a new child on the way. So there's a position where I was yoked, but I was stronger than he was at the time. In high school, I was yoked with some guys that were going to steal an apple, but I was the stronger in the yoke at the time. But you have to be careful, because if you're yoked with that which is unrighteous, and he says here, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You want to know what? Not much. Not much. If you don't use it for an opportunity to be the stronger, you're going to be pulled in the other direction. So you can be beguiled by man. The second way you can be beguiled is by Satan. And the strange thing is, he does not waste his time to deprive you of your life in Christ. Satan knows a great deal about Scripture. He understands that that's hid. There's not anything he can do about it. Christ is already victorious over that. What does he do to beguile you? He turns you away from the prize. He gets you occupied or yoked with unbelievers. He gets you connected with religion, ordinances, fasting, business, pleasure, celebrity, priorities, politics, career, music, praise singing, sports, money, Are these wrong? No. Most of them are not wrong unless they turn you away from Christ and the run for the roses. That's how he will beguile you. Now, Satan's method, if you'll remember, it's described in Ephesians chapter 6. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Just a reminder. Here in the 6th chapter, Paul's admonishing one to put on the armor of God. Verse 11, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12 of chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And then he goes forward to describe what that is, your truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the word of God. All those things are for you. But Satan, in an effort to drive a wedge in between those pieces of armor that you have, he delivers up a pretty package, and it has a death rattle in it, because it takes away your prize. But what are the fiery darts specifically? Well, I mentioned some of those things just a minute ago, but they come in the form of what I call TIS. T-I-S. TIS. Thoughts, ideas, suggestions. That's the darts of the fiery one. TIS. Thoughts, ideas, suggestions. Let me give you an example. David looks across, and who does he see? Bathsheba. And she's a beautiful woman. And her husband, he puts him in the army up front. And he looks at her and he says, wow, that'd be nice to be connected with her. I'd sure like to get her in bed. Thoughts. Thoughts. Ideas. Wouldn't it be fun to steal some apples? That's an idea. Put you in jail. Thoughts, ideas, suggestions. Eve, if you eat of that tree, surely you won't die. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And the strange fact is that he speaks to you in your own voice. You hear this in your own voice. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be fun? Reminds me of Rich Little, the guy that can interpretate any voice. That's Satan. He's good at it. He can put it right into your head. So you can be beguiled of the prize and the crown by man and by Satan. So let me just conclude here with 10 different points. There is a prize and a crown to be won or to be earned. 2, it has nothing to do with our salvation. That is, in fact, a gift. 3, a resurrection segregates those that are going to receive this, be it a first or what is described as an out resurrection. Those groups, whatever that is, are being resurrected to reign and rule with Christ. That's the prize and the crown. It's not the resurrection. It is why you're resurrected. Not life with Christ, but for another reason. Some are resurrected for another reason. They're resurrected for this prize and this crown. Others are resurrected, but not for that purpose. They're resurrected for life with Christ at a different time. So number four, resurrection is not the prize. Number five, hold fast to the prize because you can be beguiled. Number six, don't be beguiled by man or Satan. Number seven, this beguiling comes in the form of a yoke or tis. Number eight, earthly things weigh us down in the run for the roses and need to be discarded. No, not totally discarded. You know, sports is a good thing. There's a lot of good things that can divert you, but that doesn't mean they're bad. They're only bad if they divert you to the point that you don't do anything else with regard to running the race for the prize. That was number nine. These things are not necessarily sinful, but stand in the way of the runner from his goal. And number 10, they must be shunned by those who strive lawfully. Let me read you 2 Timothy 2:5 in closing. 2 Timothy 2:5. And if a man also strive masters for masteries, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. So you cannot be beguiled by man or Satan. Keep your eye on the prize. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your written word, for the understanding that we can derive from it. Pray that you would continue to always give us open hearts and understanding in your written word so that we may continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of you, and that one day we may stand on a winner's platform to reign with you as we collect the crown that's promised for us. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.